time you tune into CJSF, you make a choice to step outside of the box of what's normal and support an alternative. Alternatives are critical for making change, which we need so, so badly. I'm Leslie, host of Typically Tuesdays, on Mondays at 3 p.m. And I see you contributing to social change in your small and profound ways simply by tuning into us. Thanks for being on our team.
I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
We now have a federal government that will threaten or arrest an elected official or even everyday American citizens who have broken no laws, committed no crimes, and done nothing wrong.
It's outrageous for the federal government to be threatening the governor of Wisconsin or any governor with arrest. Due process is a fundamental principle of U.S. law, and it is the command of the Constitution that the president swore an oath to uphold.
Wisconsin's Democratic Governor Tommy Evers pushes back after Trump's so-called border czar, Tom Homan, says Wisconsin officials could be arrested over local policies that defy Trump's mass deportation agenda. This comes after FBI agents arrested a Milwaukee judge. We'll go to Wisconsin to speak with Lisa Graves, former deputy assistant attorney general, now working on a book on the Supreme Court. Then to award-winning journalist and author Naomi Klein about her new piece, The Rise of End Times Fascism.
Israel, what it represents is a posture towards the suffering of the world. And this is what we're up against. And this is, in fact, what everyone is up against. It, you know, in the world, this is why Gustavo Petro said so early after October 7th that what he sees in the genocide in Gaza, and he called it Global 1933, is the future of the world's poor if we stay on this course, right?
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Israeli military is calling up tens of thousands of reservists as Israel's Security Cabinet has unanimously approved plans to expand its assault on Gaza, where Israel's already killed at least 52,000 Palestinians over the past 18 months. That figure is believed to be a vast undercount. Israel's killed more than 2,400 Palestinians since it broke the ceasefire in mid-March. One Israeli official told CNN the new plan for Gaza involves, quote, the conquest of territory and remaining there, unquote. This comes as Israel's devastating blockade on all humanitarian and food aid has entered its third month. Health officials in Gaza say at least 57 Palestinians have already starved to death. According to UNICEF, more than 9,000 children have been admitted for treatment for acute malnutrition so far this year. Aid groups are blasting a new Israeli proposal to take control of aid distribution and put U.S. security contractors in charge. Jan Egeland of the Norwegian Refugee Council said, quote, they want to manipulate and militarize all aid to civilians, forcing us to deliver supplies through hubs designed by the Israeli military. Unquote. Meanwhile, Israel continued to attack Palestinians across Gaza over the weekend. One strike in Khan Yunis killed newlyweds Ala Abu Al-Anin and Hala Zurab one day after their wedding. Survivors of the blast denounced the Israeli attack.
I wish my voice could reach the whole world to tell them that we are oppressed. Our children die of hunger every day. They are torn apart in front of our eyes, and we cannot do anything.
In other news from Gaza, one of Pope Francis's Pope Mobiles is being turned into a mobile healthcare unit for children in Gaza. Pope Francis gave his blessing to the initiative just before his death. Tension is escalating between Israel and Yemen after a Houthi missile hit near Ben-Gurion Airport outside Tel Aviv. The Houthis said it carried out the strike, quote, in rejection of Israel's crime of genocide, unquote. A Houthi military spokesperson vowed more attacks on Israel.
The Yemeni armed forces announced that they will work to impose a comprehensive air blockade on the Israeli enemy by repeatedly targeting airports, most notably Lod Airport, known in Israel as Ben-Gurion Airport.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to respond to the Houthi attack and threatened Iran as well. Meanwhile, the U.S. is continuing to bomb Yemen on an almost daily basis. At least 16 people were injured in U.S. airstrikes overnight in the capital, Sana'a. In an interview on NBC's Meet the Press, President Trump said he does not know if he needs to uphold the Constitution. Trump made the comment when questioned by Kristen Welker.
Your Secretary of State says everyone who's here, citizens and non-citizens, deserve due process. Do you agree? Mr.
I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. I don't know.
Well, the Fifth Amendment says
I don't know. It might say that, but if you're talking about that, then we'd have to have 1 million or 2 million or 3 million trials. We have thousands of people that are some murderers and some drug dealers and some of the worst people on earth, some of the worst, most dangerous people on earth. And I was elected to get them the hell out of here, and the courts are holding me from doing it.
But even given those numbers that you're talking about, don't you need to uphold the Constitution of the United States as president?
I don't know.
In immigration news, Wisconsin's Democratic governor, Tony Evers, is pushing back after Trump's border czar, Tom Homan, suggested he and other Wisconsin officials could be arrested over local immigration policies. Homan made the veiled threat when questioned last week by the far-right website Gateway Pundit.
Why not just arrest the leaders who are harboring and shielding illegal aliens, actually terrorists, from deportation?
Wait to see what's coming. Yeah.
And, well, real quick, your comments on the Wisconsin governor sending directives to state agencies to comply with ICE and actually stop your deportation efforts.
Wait to see what's coming.
Wait to see what's coming. Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers responded in this video posted online.
Overnight, Republican lawmakers piled on, encouraging the Trump administration to arrest me. Showing threats like this should be of concern to every Wisconsinite and every American who cares about this country and the values hold here.
We'll have more on this story after headlines. We'll go to Wisconsin. In related news, the Justice Department has sued the city of Denver and the state of Colorado over their sanctuary laws, claiming they interfere with federal immigration enforcement. In other immigration news, the Trump administration's designated two Haitian gangs as terrorist groups. Many experts fear the move could deepen the humanitarian crisis in Haiti if aid groups pull back out of fear of being prosecuted for dealing with armed groups. President Trump says he's directing the Bureau of Prisons to reopen and enlarge Alcatraz, the infamous jail located on an island in the San Francisco Bay. The prison has been closed for over 60 years and is a popular tourist spot that makes tens of millions of dollars every year. Meanwhile, the White House has posted an AI image of Trump depicted as the Pope, prompting outrage. The New York State Catholic Conference of Bishops blasted the president, saying, quote, "We just buried our beloved Pope Francis, and the cardinals are about to enter a solemn conclave to elect a new successor of St. Peter. Do not mock us," they said. In more Trump news, the U.S. Army confirmed there will be a large military parade in Washington to mark the Army's 250th anniversary and the birthday of President Trump, his 79th birthday on June 14th. Some 6,600 soldiers are expected to take part, along with 150 military vehicles and 50 military aircraft. On Sunday, Trump also announced a new 100% tariff on foreign-made films, claiming that they pose a, quote, national security threat. The announcement came as a surprise to Hollywood studios. On Friday, the Trump administration filed an emergency appeal asking the Supreme Court to let members of Elon Musk's so-called Department of Government Efficiency access sensitive Social Security records of hundreds of millions of people. In March, one federal judge described DOJ's efforts as a fishing expedition that was, quote, in search of a fraud epidemic based on little more than suspicion, unquote. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum has forcefully rejected President Trump's idea of sending U.S. troops into Mexico to combat drug cartels. On Saturday, she detailed a call she held with Trump last month.
In one of the calls, the U.S. President Donald Trump said it was important for the U.S. Army to enter Mexico to help us in the fight against drug trafficking. And I want to say that's true. In some of the calls, he said, quote, how can we help you fight drug trafficking? I propose that the U.S. Army come in to help you. And you know what I told him? No, President Trump. The territory is sacrosanct. Sovereignty is sacrosanct. Sovereignty is not for sale. Sovereignty is loved and defended.
President Trump lashed out at President Sheinbaum, saying, quote, she's so afraid of the cartel she can't even think straight, Trump said. In Sudan, the death toll in the city of Al-Hud has risen to 300 days after the paramilitary rapid support forces say they captured the key city in West Kordofan State, which borders Darfur. Among the 300 killed in the RSF attacks were at least 21 children. Separately, on Sunday, RSF drone attacks struck a military port in the city of Port Sudan. It's the first direct attacks on the de facto capital of Sudan's military-led government since the devastating civil war broke out over 2 years ago. This all comes as the International Court of Justice is ruling today in Sudan's genocide case against the United Arab Emirates, which Sudan accuses of fueling the RSF. In South Sudan, at least 7 people were killed, including a 9-month-old baby, and another 20 were injured in bombings on a market in Fanga County in the greater Upper Nile region. The group Doctors Without Borders said the explosions completely destroyed its pharmacy and damaged its hospital, the area's only hospital. The perpetrator has not been confirmed, but the deadly attack comes at a time of increasing conflict amidst fears of a new civil war in South Sudan after a power-sharing deal collapsed in March. In Australia, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and his ruling Labour Party will remain in power after defeating Conservative Peter Dutton of the Liberal Party in Saturday's national elections. Dutton's hard-line immigration plans and criticism of China earned him comparisons to Trump by Australians, who cited the high cost of living as their top concern. Dutton was roundly rejected by voters Saturday and even lost his own seat, despite leading in the polls a few months ago. The victory for Australia's Labour Party comes a week after Canadians also rejected the Conservative challenger in national elections. Prime Minister Albanese delivered a victory speech in Sydney.
In this time of global uncertainty, Australians have chosen optimism and determination. Australians have chosen to face global challenges the Australian way, looking after each other while building for the future.
Earlier today, the Australian Prime Minister said he had a warm conversation with Trump on tariffs and the joint Australia-US-UK defense pact. In Romania, the hard-right nationalist pro-Trump politician George Simion won the first round of presidential voting Sunday. He'll face Bucharest Mayor Nicușor Dan in a runoff on May 18th. The election comes 5 months after Romania's constitutional court annulled a presidential election won by the far-right ultra-nationalist Calin Georgescu, who was barred from running again after being charged with campaign violations and being involved with a fascist organization. Despite the charges, Simion has vowed to give him a leadership post if he wins the runoff. An Illinois landlord who stormed the home of his tenants and fatally stabbed a 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy in October 2023 has been sentenced to 53 years in prison. In February, a jury had found Joseph Juba guilty of murder and hate crimes for killing Wadi Al-Fayoum, who he stabbed 26 times. Ahmed Rahab, the executive director of CARE Chicago, said, quote, no sentence can restore what was taken, but today's outcome delivers a necessary measure of justice. Wadi was an innocent child. He was targeted because of who he was, Muslim, Palestinian, and loved, he said. Questions are mounting about Pennsylvania Democratic Senator John Fetterman's ability to continue serving after recent reports that former and current staffers are increasingly concerned about his erratic behavior. Senator Fetterman, who had a stroke in 2022, had run as a progressive but has sharply shifted to the right. Last year, in May, his former chief of staff wrote a 1,600-word email to the medical director of the Traumatic Brain Injury and Neuropsychiatry Unit at Walter Reed, expressing concern over Fetterman's mental health, including his, quote, conspiratorial thinking, megalomania, and rambling, unquote. New York Magazine reveals that in a private meeting in February, Senator Fetterman spoke against Israel's then ceasefire, saying, quote, let's get back to killing, unquote. During a discussion on Gaza and the Palestinians, he reportedly said, quote, kill them all, unquote. In February, The Intercept reported there had been an exodus from Fetterman's staff, in part due to his shift on Israel and his willingness to work with President Trump. Many of Fetterman's small donors have also asked for him to return their campaign donations to him. The world's richest man, Elon Musk, now has his own city. On Saturday, residents in South Texas voted to make the home of Musk's SpaceX rocket company its own city called Starbase. It's located about 25 miles east of Brownsville. Most of the voters are believed to have been SpaceX employees. The South Texas Environmental Justice Network campaigned against Starbase becoming its own city, warning it could lead to more environmental damage to the area. In other news from Texas, Republican Governor Greg Abbott has signed the country's largest school voucher program into law, making Texas the 16th state to make taxpayer funds available to pay for private schools. So-called school choice is a Republican push program which sucks money from budget-strapped public schools and largely benefits wealthier families. This comes as the conservative-led U.S. Supreme Court appears poised to allow publicly funded charter schools to start including religious schools. In more education news, the Justice Department last week terminated a half-century-old school desegregation order in Louisiana. The Plaquemines Parish School Board came under a federal consent decree in 1966 for refusing to comply with the landmark Brown v. Board decision outlawing segregation in schools. Trump's Department of Justice said it's, quote, correcting wrongs from the past. And in more related news, the Education Department has launched an investigation into a Chicago school program designed to help black students. The federal agency said it could withhold federal funding from the district over the Black Student Success Plan, alleging it discriminates against non-black students. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. When we come back, we go to Wisconsin, where Democratic Governor Tony Evers is pushing back after Trump border czar Tom Homan threatened to arrest him and other Wisconsin officials who defy Trump's mass deportation agenda. And then we'll speak with Naomi Klein.
Sailing down my dirty stream, still I love it. And I'll keep the dream that someday, though maybe not this year, my Hudson River will once again run clear. It starts high in the mountains of the north, crystal clear and icy trickles forth. With just a few floating wrappers of chewing gum, dropped by some hikers to warn of things to come. At Glens Falls, 5,000 honest hands work at the con.
Peace. Seeger's My Dirty Stream, the Hudson River song. We remember his songs in a spirit after what would have been his 106th birthday on Saturday, May 3rd. To see all our interviews with Pete Seeger, go to democracynow.org. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, the War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today in Wisconsin, where Democratic Governor Tony Evers is pushing back after Trump's so-called border czar Tom Homan suggested Wisconsin officials could be arrested if they follow local immigration policies that defy Trump's mass deportation agenda. He made the veiled threat when questioned last Thursday by the far-right website Gateway Pundit.
Your comments on the Wisconsin governor sending directives to state agencies to not comply with ICE and actually stop your deportation efforts.
Wait to see what's coming.
Any updates on the military?
I meant what I said. You can not support what we're doing. And you can support sanctuary cities. That's what you want to do. But if you cross that line of impediment or knowingly harboring concealment of illegal alien, that is a felony. And we're treated as such.
Wait to see what's coming, said White House border czar Tom Homan, threatening Governor Tony Evers. Well, on Friday, the Wisconsin governor responded to Homan in a video statement posted online. Evers spoke in part about a memo he issued last month to Wisconsin state employees that echoes guidance given by other state and city governments, which instructs them to call a state lawyer if an ICE agent or other federal agent shows up at their workplace and questions them. It also tells workers not to give agents access to non-public areas. This is an excerpt of the video statement by Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers.
Yesterday, a Trump administration official, in not so many words, apparently threatened to arrest me for distributing guidance that asks state agency employees to consult with an attorney if federal agents show up at state buildings with legal documents. The goal of this guidance was simple: to provide clear, consistent instructions to state employees and ensure they have a lawyer to help them comply with all federal and state laws. Nothing more, nothing less. But Republicans and their right-wing allies, including Elon Musk, lied about this guidance, spread misinformation, accused me of doing things I didn't do or say, and fueled a fake controversy of their own creation. Now, I'm used to Republicans and the right-wing lying about me. It comes with the job. But this time, these lies came at a cost. I haven't broken the law, I haven't committed a crime, and I've never encouraged or directed anyone to break any laws or commit any crimes. But when President Trump's hand-picked appointee, Tom Homan, was asked about me and this guidance after he apparently threatened to arrest elected officials across the country, he said, "Wait till you see what's coming. Wait till you see what's coming." Overnight, Republican lawmakers piled on, encouraging the Trump administration to arrest me. Showing threats like this should be of concern to every Wisconsinite and every American who cares about this country and the values hold here. We live in the United States of America, folks. We are a country of laws. The rule of law matters. Following the law matters. In this country, the federal government doesn't get to abuse its power to threaten everyday Americans. In this country, the federal government doesn't get to arrest American citizens who have not committed a crime. In this country, we don't threaten to persecute people just because they belong to a different political party. These threats represent a concerning trajectory in this country. We now have a federal government that will threaten or arrest an elected official or even everyday American citizens who have broken no laws, committed no crimes, and done nothing wrong. And as disgusted as I am about the continued actions of the Trump administration, I'm not afraid. I've never once been discouraged from doing the right thing, and I will not start today.
Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers speaking in a video posted online Friday. This comes after the Trump administration escalated its attacks on judges and immigrants the week before, when FBI agents arrested Milwaukee, Wisconsin County Judge Hannah Dugan on charges of obstructing justice and concealing an immigrant from arrest as federal agents waited in the courthouse hallway. She opened a side door for the immigrant to pass out of. Meanwhile, in an interview on NBC's Meet the Press, President Trump says he doesn't know if he needs to uphold the Constitution or if people in the U.S. are entitled to due process rights. For more, we're joined in Superior, Wisconsin, by Lisa Graves. She's the former Deputy Assistant Attorney General of the United States, now the director and founder of the policy research group True North Research, and co-host of the podcast Legal AF. Her forthcoming book is titled Without Precedent: How Chief Justice Roberts and His Accomplices Rewrote the Constitution and Dismantled Our Rights. We welcome you back to Democracy Now!, Lisa. Without precedent could also describe our president, Donald Trump. If you could first respond to this direct threat against the Wisconsin governor, Tony Evers.
Well, it really is an outrageous act, this veiled threat against Governor Evers and any elected official in the United States. What Governor Evers did was issue guidance to consult lawyers. Of course, state and local officials have a right to consult lawyers when they encounter federal agents or local and state agents. And so it's really nothing abnormal at all that the governor did. And what's abnormal, what's outrageous, is the threats being made by this administration. In fact, what we're seeing, obviously, what we're witnessing is this escalation of attacks on pillars of civil society, as well as on the actual responsibilities under the Constitution that the president and senators and other officers take an oath to uphold.
So do you see Wisconsin itself as a target? I mean, going back to Wisconsin Governor Tommy Thompson, Wisconsin often seen as a kind of model for the country. And do you see this as going back to retaliation for Elon Musk, the richest man in the world, complete defeat in Wisconsin over his support for the conservative judge that lost by not a few percentage points, shocking everyone, including, I think, the judge who won, the Democratic judge who won?
Well, that's right. Wisconsinites rejected this intervention, this extraordinary, unprecedented intervention by Elon Musk to basically try to buy a seat on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, while he also has litigation pending in the state of Wisconsin over his business. I think what we're seeing in a broader sense is just the absolute degradation of the rule of law. The Constitution requires that no person be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law. Due process of law means not whim, not caprice, not revenge, not retaliation for not being in the fan club of this president or the men that he has put into these roles in which they're engaging in such destruction, like Elon Musk. And we are, you know, we have seen Wisconsin targeted in that way, obviously by Musk in this most recent Supreme Court race in which he was resoundingly defeated. But I think we're also seeing this broader attack, the governor of Maine, the governor of Wisconsin, other governors who dare to speak up, defend the rule of law, defend the rights and interests of their citizens, you know, to access Social Security, to have their children registered, for example, in Social Security when they're born in the United States. We're seeing this assault on the idea, the promise, the demand, the requirement under the Constitution that the writ of habeas corpus not be suspended. That, by its definition, means that people, if they are seized, have a right to have an independent judicial tribunal assess whether there's evidence against them, assess whether they can be held and deprived of their liberty. But Trump and this administration has leveled an assault on that legal command that Donald Trump took an oath to uphold. I question whether that oath had any meaning anymore after John Roberts waived away the criminal liability of Donald Trump in that disastrous immunity decision last summer, without precedent, like the title of my book, but that unprecedented decision to say the president is above the law, that he can break the law rather than that he has a duty to faithfully uphold the law. That's what the Constitution requires of the president, that he faithfully execute the laws, and nothing could be more faithless than breaking those laws. Nothing could be more faithless than disregarding the command, the requirement of the Constitution of due process of law for all persons.
On Thursday, at a judges' conference in Puerto Rico, the Supreme Court Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson appeared to forcefully rebuke President Trump and the administration's attack on